You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Poll this weekend printed in the Sunday Times, giving the breakdown of where the electorate's thinking is. Fine Gael on 23, Fianna Fáil on 20, Sinn Féin on 18, which in theory should be the top three voting blocks. But in actual fact, the second largest voting bloc is Independents and Other at 21%. With me is Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit. I'm never sure whether or not you would want People Before Profit to be counted as Independents Other or be counted separately as a party on its own.
Well, I think some people would see us as kind of independent. But no, I mean, obviously we are trying to present a left-wing position, but I think we are independent of the establishment and many people would see us as such.
How has it been different, if at all, having a single leader and single key spokesperson in the form of you rather than a sort of a decentralised group leadership?
This was more about the fact that the way the political debate in elections is structured is that it's structured around
a leader.
Having leaders. So frankly, you mightn't be interviewing me if we didn't nominate a leader. But we do have a more collective, and I would like to think, much more democratic structure, which is bottom up, rather than it doesn't mean that I dictate what goes on in the party.
Where then does the left as a totality sit as we go into this election? Is there a coherence? Is there a consensus? Or is everybody paddling their own canoe?
Well, I think largely they're paddling their own canoe. I wish it was otherwise, and we've been fairly consistent in advocating the left needs to band together and they need to offer people a clear alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And we are going to continue to push for that, and on all of our election literature we're saying vote People Before Profit, then transfer left. So we would like to see that dynamic take off, and it did take off in the last election, because I think people who are voting for parties of the left will be very, very disappointed and demoralised if the parties they vote for end up propping up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That's not what they're voting for, and we would like them to rule out that possibility and actually offer people a very clear choice. It's either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, or it's a left government, which we've never had in this country.
Now, to that, is there an element of necessary pragmatism that should leaven that thinking? Because if you put yourself in a position where, as you have, you totally rule out any kind of partnership with the two largest parties, what that means, therefore, is your chances of government are significantly less. Are you more effective being a junior party influencing a programme for government with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, or being in the back benches across the opposition?
No, I think, we've been down this road before. Labour have tried it, they've argued that. The Greens have tried it, and they've argued, be pragmatic, be in, even if you have to compromise. And the consequence has been disastrous for them.
They might argue that it's martyrdom, that their presence in government made a significant difference and dragged things to the left while they were there.
I don't think martyrdom changes anything. And if you think back, I mean, when I first got elected, it was 2011 and it was after the crash, and it was a huge surge of support for the Labour Party. And people were voting for them precisely because they were so angry at Fianna Fáil's responsibility for a massive crash and all the property speculation, the behaviour of the banks that wrecked the economy. And Labour presented themselves as people who were going to be a challenge to all of that, to those priorities of profiteering and speculation of the banks and property developers. And then they went in and it demoralised people massively. And then they presided over some of the worst austerity people had ever seen in this country, and with disastrous consequences. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that government is responsible for the housing crisis that we have now. So the legacy has been long and bitter for ordinary people. So I think it is a disaster to make that. And similarly, to be honest, I think the Green Party have, in my view, discredited the environmental agenda, which I think is very serious, right? We need climate action. We need action on biodiversity. But because they went in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I think a lot of people now have a very bitter taste about environmentalism to do with that. You know, when
even though they would say and have said, here is a menu of public policy that has been brought in, whether it be bike lanes, whether it be investing in infrastructure like public transport, that the Greens say that's because of us, wouldn't have happened if we weren't in government.
But you see, that's the point. I mean, it's interesting that you say bike lanes, right? That is just about the only thing they've done. And there hasn't been massive investment in public transport. Anybody who uses a bus will tell you that you get on a bus, well, it doesn't turn up half the time, it's packed. This Bus Connects is actually replacing routes often, which are impacting very badly on people. And then you look at things like liquid natural gas, data centres. I mean, these are major, major environmental issues, and the Green Party have essentially abandoned their position in terms of opposing these things in a way that is very, very damaging for the environment.
So what do you then do as you look at the numbers now about the prospect of the left being forever in opposition? Is that an effective use of the mandate that you get?
No, but you see, even now, you look at the polls, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael together are below 50%, significantly below 50%. 20 to maybe 30% of people are still not decided, I think, and it is all to play for. So the possibility of having a left alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is still real. But
Very slim, though, just on the stats.
It is, but primarily because other parties on the left have left open the option of going in with them. And that creates a sense of inevitability. If you say, well, we might go in with them, we're thinking about go, or, you know, that's something we're willing to consider, then people think, ah, sure, it's fait accompli, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are coming back in. If they banded together and said, we're offering a clear alternative, which is different to them, we have a different set of priorities, then I think that would create its own dynamic. And actually, it did back in 2020. If you remember, the narrative before the 2020 election was, it's Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, and then a new dynamic took off where the left almost got a majority. Now, I think that is possible, but it's not possible if you say, oh, well, we're just going to be a prop for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael.
How do you interpret the independence stroke other vote? Because there is a tendency to view it as opposition to the establishment, but it may not be. It might be far right, it might be far left, it could be single issue candidates and constituents, it could be all over the map.
Or it could be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in disguise. And I think that's the biggest thing. And people should think seriously. I mean, there's some very good independents, people like Thomas Pringle and Catherine Connolly and so on. These are good left-wing principled people, Joan Collins and so on. But there are a lot of people who are just Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in disguise.
Gene pool independence.
Absolutely. And they will very likely end up propping up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They've decided to go independent because they know Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are discredited. But in actuality, a lot of the time they end up voting for them on key issues. And I think if they
that were... further chips away at the numbers that you would need to form a coalition at the left.
Yeah, that is true. Absolutely. But I mean, we got to tell the truth, and people shouldn't just think just because somebody says they're independent that actually means they're seriously offering a progressive or radical alternative to the established, because frankly some of them are not.
Give me a sense of what the canvas has been like. What reaction are you getting on the doorsteps? We were talking to Gabia Gadvascacha there earlier on, who's political correspondent with The Independent. She's obviously following a lot of the parties around on the doorsteps, and said that there doesn't seem yet to be an issue, that it hasn't found its nodal point. Is that the sense that you're getting?
No, I get a very consistent response on the doors. I mean, obviously there are many issues, but the thing that comes up again and again and again is people who are working hard, or their kids are working hard, have, you know, reasonably decent jobs, but they can't afford a house. And they're, you know, really being hammered or struggling with the cost of living. And then certain key public services, there's also, are coming up again and again. Childcare, the cost of childcare or the lack of childcare is huge. The lack of support and services for children with special needs and disability is coming up again and again and again. And then things like, yeah, the USC is comes up again and again, and people really quite bitter about the fact that this was an austerity tax that was imposed on them, that they were promised it would be gone, and it's still a huge chunk out of their paycheck every week. So I think that's huge. But the
it comes up specifically rather than just general cost of living. You're getting the USC raise specifically.
Workers have always been bitter, and rightly so, in my opinion, but by far the biggest issue is the lack of affordable and public housing. Different aspects of the housing crisis, either the unaffordability to buy, you know, absolutely unaffordable rents, or people who are waiting on housing lists for 10 or 15 years. It just keeps coming up, and people are right to be angry about it.
What do you make of the story in the front of the Sunday Independent? Fine Gael pledges €1,000 for every baby born in the next 5 years. I would have thought it is the kind of giveaway that it's difficult to criticise.
Yeah, but look, I mean, this is, all these things are now being thrown out in the teeth of an election. And I think a lot of people now are becoming pretty cynical about it and asking the question, why didn't they do this when they were in power? So I don't think really people buy that stuff. And in fact, there is an auction politics aspect to what's going on. But I mean, what it does show is that you can get things that you previously wouldn't have got because there's an election, and you can put the establishment under pressure. But I would like to think we're consistent. I mean, the policies that we're arguing for, whether it's more social and affordable housing, whether it's radical measures to deal with profiteering, which is affecting the cost of living, or, you know, redistributing the wealth through the tax system to fund our public services. These, we're consistent about these things. We're not doing auction politics. And, you know, I hope people will respond well to that.
Well, some of it, I mean, whether it be some of the consistency, people might argue, is long-term auction politics. Things like the increase in the minimum wage, a hugely significant increase in the minimum wage.
Yeah.
That may be a long-standing policy, but it is, if you had just come up with it, it would clearly fit auction politics terminology, would it not?
We are socialists, and we're consistent, right? We make no apologies about it. As far as we're concerned, there is a common theme to the problems that are affecting ordinary working people in this country, or young people, or less well off. And that is, we have had record economic growth. There's huge budget surpluses. That is wealth that has been generated by ordinary working people, but they are not feeling the benefit of it. And we should be, in a wealthy country, able to put a secure, affordable roof over people's heads. You should be able to have properly funded, resourced and staffed services. Vulnerable people should not be struggling in the way that they are. And so we think that common thread is that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have tended always to back the interests of money people, big business, property speculators, the banks, are over the interest.
Now, of course, to which they will say, to the first of those, the big business, that it is the corporation tax and the income tax paid by the employees of the big business that funds so much of the other stuff that you might want to do.
Well, the employees, yes. But I mean, isn't that the irony that the corporations, who are making staggering profits, and I've seen their profits quadruple in the last 10 years, I mean, enormous. But the workers who work for those, or for any other, in other areas of the economy, are paying more tax proportionately than these corporations.
Yes, but nonetheless, they are the net end result from an economic perspective is we are very dependent on those big corporates.
Yeah, but you see, when we first came into the Dáil, there was nobody else was willing to question the 12.5% tax rate. And they said if you even mentioned it, they would run out of the country. Now it's gone up to 15%. A lot of the loopholes have been closed down, the double Irish. Did that lead to them all legging it out of the country? No, it actually led to a bumper increase in tax revenue. So I do not believe these guys who are making so much profit in Ireland are going to leg it out of the country if they are made to pay their fair share of tax.
Richard Boyd-Barrett, leader of People Before Profit. Thank you very much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.